Good friend of mine, Sarah Rusbach, is a multi-award-winning grey area drinking coach. She has successfully supported thousands of women all over the world to change their relationship with alcohol, stop relying on it for that 5 p.m. wine time fix to get through the evening, and in turn, enjoy so many of the benefits that come from a break from booze. Reduced anxiety, improved sleep, weight loss, increased energy, and so much more. If you're curious about how you might feel and what life looks like when you take a break from booze, then stay listening as I'll share more about how you can get involved inside this episode and in the show notes. Welcome to episode 347, Personal Development. It's such a broad term and can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. If you're starting a health journey or you've been on one 25 times before and never followed through, then I have 9 specific things that you need to know about changing your life. They're what I call the hallmarks of behavior change. Tidbits, nuggets of wisdom, but more importantly, they're real. And you need them if you're going to make any meaningful change in your life. Also, for those super committed people just like you, if you wait until the end, we've also got 3 warnings. 3 things you really need to make sure do not happen as a result of your personal development journey. And many people have been led astray before. And you'd be surprised, they're actually more common than you think, these 3 things. All right, it's time. Let's get into it.
Welcome to the How to Not Get Sick and Die podcast. You've tuned in because you want to start taking your health seriously so you don't, well, get sick and die. Here we talk all things health, nutrition, and human optimization. Let's jump into it with your host and resident scientist, Maddie Lansdowne.
What's up, my healthy friends? Welcome back to another podcast. The How to Not Get Sick and Die podcast is where you are, and I'm glad you're here. Tell your friends about it. Get everybody involved, because what I'm talking about today applies to anyone that has any interest in changing themselves, which, believe it or not, isn't everyone. Shockingly. Funnily enough, in my experience in life, the people that have no interest in changing themselves are probably the people that need it the most because they're unaware or they're ignorant or they're stubborn or they're a little bit narcissistic or whatever it might be. They're in denial of the fact that change might benefit them, or they just don't believe that they have the skills to change or whatever it might be. Point is, people that need it usually are the most resistant to it. But if you are not resistant to change, then you should know that in 2024, it's my mission to coach 500 people to get control of their sugar cravings and sugar binges so they can stop yo-yo dieting, stop obsessing about food, and finally create a body that they feel confident being in. And believe it or not, it's not just all about food. When we talk about health and nutrition, sure, that's a part of it because your body is made up of all the molecules you put into it. Your nervous system is made of all the molecules that you put into it. And nutrition is a serious part of it. And it actually might empower you to know that getting control of your emotional eating or sugar addiction or binge eating issue or any eating disorders you might have, sometimes that can actually just be physical nutrition that's a significant part of what your body is desperately craving. However, a big part of it, probably the bigger part in my opinion, is the psychology, the mind, the thinking, the psychological experience you have on a day-to-day basis. And that information that you think about then feeds the body with information and pushes those messages down into the body and then results in you acting in a certain way, which may or may not be helpful. But if you're listening to this podcast, I'm guessing you want to know the 9 things that I want to talk about in regards to what really matters or what are the core principles of actually trying to change and be different. And this episode might be fantastic for somebody that's beginning their journey, but also it might be a really good reminder if you're really deep down the rabbit hole of personal development and you've kind of lost your way because there's nothing short of a billion different ideas on personal development and books and, you know, ancient wisdom and new age science and all of the things that are telling you what you should and shouldn't be doing. So based on my experience personally, alongside working with clients, and I apply a lot of this to clients, is what I want to share with you today, because these principles are fundamental to change. And I think each and every one of them are just as important as the next. And can you do life without any of them? Well, sure, everybody does things differently. But I think you're going to have a far greater chance of success with these 9. So let's get into it, okay? So number 1, there is no one way. What works for one person won't necessarily work for everybody, okay? You have your own journey. You have your own history. You have your own trauma. You have your own beliefs. You have your own stories. And so the first thing that you do might not be the answer. And actually, some of the best money that I've ever spent have been on programs and services that did not work. And it was shitty at the time, and I was probably pissed off and annoyed. But retrospectively, that helped me know myself. It helped me understand myself and know which tools do and do not work for me. And knowing what does not work is just as good as knowing what does work, because it doesn't leave you in the dark. It doesn't leave you in a space of being confused or not knowing what next. What should I do? What shouldn't I do? Maybe in the beginning, you're sort of swinging a bat in the dark trying to hit the ball, right? And actually, maybe that's where we all should start. And probably that is where we all start, is just signing up for things, doing things, reading books, just going towards whatever is nearby and figuring out, oh, does this feel good? Does it not feel good? Does it challenge me? Does it push me? What is this? You know, who else is doing this? Why does it work for some people? All of those questions come up. And then over time, we develop self-literacy, okay? And that's where we start to really know what works for us. However, you've got to be careful, is that what we can get into in that situation is a bit of a confirmation bias, is that sometimes things don't work for us because we're not being open-minded, okay? And we're not letting our belief systems possibly be wrong. So remember, there's no one way. Everyone's different, you're different, and sometimes it's right, sometimes it's not right, and sometimes the not right things are just really, really right in the long run, if that makes any sense. All right, thing number two, and this is for literally everything in life. Consistency matters more than intensity, okay? The person that shows up at 10% every single day is going to beat the person that shows up once a week at 80% or 100%. Hands down, right? And I know that you're like, 10%? Are you for real, Maddie? Yes, because that person that developed consistency and developed the muscle of showing up repeatedly over time is going to be there for a lot longer. They are not playing a small game. They might be entering the game at a lower intensity, but that means that they stay in the game for many years. And ideally what we're doing here is, if we're using this sort of analogy of a game, is we're trying to stay in the game for the rest of our life. We're entering a new phase, and that phase is not to necessarily achieve a particular outcome where we go and arrive somewhere and we're like, oh, that's it. I'm no longer interested in personal development. Once you're interested in it, you're interested in it. And that doesn't change. We can get a little bit tired of the work and get a bit tired of having the self-awareness and then being confronted by our inability to change it. It's one of those situations sometimes with personal development where you take 10 steps forward, but in that 10 steps forward, you've learned so much about all of the steps in front of you that it actually feels like you've taken 10 steps back. Because even though you've progressed forward, your knowledge and self-awareness has gone to such a level that you now think, oh my God, I have so far to go. Which is why they say ignorance is bliss, right? Because sometimes it's better to not know. Sometimes it's better to not know about our demons. Sometimes it's better to be ignorant. And look, sometimes that's true. Sometimes it is. But a lot of the time it's not. And most of the time it's going to benefit you to be in the driver's seat and in the awareness seat. And so to be able to develop that muscle, you need to be consistent. You need to show up on a daily basis. Some days you're going to want out. Some days you're going to want a break. That's okay. Take a break. You've got to conserve your energy. But you also have to be able to identify what the difference between taking a break is and breaking consistency, right? Because if you show up once a week, once a month, once a year at, you know, 100%, all guns blazing, you know, absolutely cracking at whatever you're doing, whether it's working out, whether it's showing up for your family for a change and just showering them in gifts and, you know, holidays and money, thinking that that will be enough, or whether it be, you know, going one day a year on New Year's Day on a really hardcore diet and ending up being like, oh, this is amazing for the month of January. And then you do nothing for the other 11 months except beat yourself up about your lack of consistency. Then that's not what we want, right? We want consistency. We want showing up every single day in some capacity, whether it's just the intention, whether it's consciously taking a break, or whether it's just going to the gym or going to the kitchen and doing the absolute bare minimum. On the days that I don't want to do shit, I tell myself, what if you can do the absolute bare minimum? And the crazy thing is, I'm yet to be in a scenario where I actually go, I commit to myself to do the bare minimum, I go to the gym, or I do the thing, and I always do more, right? It might not be me at 100%, but I always do more. And so just showing up is the consistency that you need. Emotionally, relationships, family, work, whatever you're committed to, health, all that kind of stuff. Consistency matters more than intensity. Number three, action precedes clarity. And I want to repeat that so that it's clear. Action precedes clarity, not proceeds. A lot of people are waiting until they feel good enough or until they feel able or until they have the strength or until they have the motivation. But if we're in a body that's unhealthy and that's not getting all the nutrition that it needs or all the love that it needs or all the attention that it needs or all the finance that our life needs to be able to be comfortable, then that feeling's never going to come. That's why it hasn't happened yet, right? You cannot wait for mental clarity of a decision or that feeling in your body of just knowing what the right thing to do is. You can't. Otherwise, you would be doing it. So therefore, we have to act. And that requires a little bit of hope, right? Action precedes clarity. And there's a famous quote by Steve Jobs, which is that you can only join the dots looking back. And that is a similar idea here, which is that you can only make sense of the path that you're going on once you're on the path, once you're doing the work, once you're acting in accordance with who you want to be. And so some days you need a little bit of hope to be like, I'm going to look up to some mentors or some people I follow online and kind of copy them because I'm not really sure. I just know that I want to be different and that I don't feel great with who I am. So I'm going to look for some guidance so that I know that my actions are leading towards something positive. So there's a bit of an emotional investment in hope there. And also I would say mentors, right? Which sort of leads me on to the next point. But the point that I want to make first is that acting comes first, okay? Know that you're probably not going to get the mental clarity and the feeling of, yeah, let's get up and do it. We're going to be amazing. We're going to feel like a healthy person. Sometimes you need to act like a healthy person before you feel like a healthy person. Sometimes you need to act like an emotionally mature person before you feel like one. And when I say sometimes, I mean basically all of the time. It's the action that confirms the feeling, not the feeling that leads to the action. Okay? Action precedes clarity. The next one, number four, is being coachable and developing the ability to self-coach. So the idea here is I mentioned mentors before, right? And paying for or investing for or following the guidance of other people or resources or books. And the idea here is that you are able to be challenged and you actually kind of want to be coachable in your relationships with friends, with family members, even though they're the most challenging people to be coachable around. But it's the idea of having an open mind and saying, oh, maybe the way that I do things is not the right way. Or maybe the way that I'm doing things isn't the best way. And so it's being coachable is the idea that you are open to maybe being wrong about the way that you've been showing up in life or the way you've been eating or the way that you've been, you know, in intimate relationships with a partner or your friends or your family or your work. Is it all working out for you? If it's not, then it's highly likely then how you're going about it is underpinned by ideas and beliefs that are not ideal and that are not serving you. So to be coachable is to be open to being called out. And you want to be called out by people you respect and people that deliver that information in a nice way, right? Sometimes it's useful, you know, particularly I'm a guy that's into sport and I love competitive sport. And sometimes the savage call out is what you need, which is like, you know, get your shit together, Lansdowne. And it's like, yep, absolutely, 100%, I dropped the ball. But usually in most of the conversations that I'm having about food, nutrition, emotional eating, dietary intake, all of that kind of stuff, and then, you know, stress, sleep, et cetera, et cetera. Most of the times, those conversations need to be supportive, kind, and loving. And it's the same in my personal life, right? Which is that with difficult conversations with loved ones and all that kind of stuff, we need to be kind and loving. And so make sure the people that you are being coached by or you have given space and permission to for them to coach you, make sure that they're delivering it in the right way. You don't want to be coachable to, you know, some kind of psychopathic, horrible, narcissistic leader, because they're just going to pulverize you into submission, right? That's not what we want. The other thing is, off the back of this, as you start to learn how to be open-minded and how to take direction and follow leadership and follow guidance and embrace the idea that things might be different, that should evolve into self-coaching, which is the ability to constantly get outside yourself and ask yourself the same questions your coach would be asking you. I often say to people that the most important time that we know whether the work that we're doing together is working is basically at 11 p.m. when you're home by yourself and you've got the cupboard and the fridge full of food. And in that moment, that's where we know the rubber hits the road. Because we're not in society, we're not being governed or controlled by these social forces or these judgments of others. It's just us and it's just the food. And so that's the time where we need to be able to self-coach. When all other resources are currently unavailable to us, we will always have the resource of our own mind. So it's about using those coaching skills that you've learned from the leaders and mentors and guides on yourself, asking yourself, is this the right way to think? Am I going about it the right way? What if the opposite is true? That's a really powerful coaching question. What if the opposite is true? And even if there's no way that it absolutely possibly could be ever, still entertain that idea because it opens up your perspective and it opens up your world. So asking yourself these coaching questions is really, really good because it puts you in the driver's seat and it gives you options as to how to act and respond to situations. So I really think that as you are becoming coachable, that should eventually transform into the ability to self-coach. I really do believe that the coach needs a coach. Like we always need guidance. There's always a bigger mountain. There's always something more to achieve and something to get better at. You know, we're not all Gandhi and we're never going to be. And even Gandhi's still got all of his own mental battles, right? So, I really do believe the coach needs a coach. I am definitely invested in coaches and psychologists and mentors myself, surrounded by them all the time. But when we're at home by ourselves late at night and we're making those decisions about food, about relationships, about whatever it is, you need the ability to self-coach. Number five, have and know your own self-nurture or energy recovery system. And you might say, what is that energy recovery system? Is this a podcast about solar panels? The thing is that life in 2024 and in the 2020s, and who knows, maybe one day you'll be listening to this podcast in the 2030s or the 2040s, but what I'm talking about is your own energy. These days, life is so busy. It's so intense. There's stimulation coming from absolutely everywhere. And actually, one of the times that I really enjoy in my work life is recording these podcasts because I actually can't be doing anything else. It's one of the few things, like being in the shower, that I really love because you have that experience of being immersed in a single task. Because I actually cannot be multitasking right now whilst I'm recording this podcast. Otherwise, the editing process would be about 17 hours long. And so in this world of hyper distraction, social media is, you know, psychologically engineered, literally has tons of employees dedicated to that exact task of manipulating and hijacking your dopamine and your psychology. So you use it more and more and more and more and more so that advertisers spend more and more and more money. And so the owners of social media companies end up being multi-billionaires and control the world. Hashtag conspiracy rabbit hole could be opened right there, but we'll keep it closed. So you've got to know in this world of chaos and abundance and excessiveness, how to recover your energy. And not just, I guess I probably need a little bit more sleep. You need to know exactly what recovers your energy. It's one thing to talk about physical energy in regards to getting more sleep and managing your stress and eating right, but it's another thing to talk about your psychological and your mental and your emotional energy. So you need to know what fills your cup. You need to know exactly the exercises you need to do to feel whole and feel complete, okay? And you might say, Maddie, I've got kids and I've got a busy job and I've got a mortgage and I've got all of these things and there's almost no space for me to actually recover my energy. And my response to that would be, well, things need to change then, don't they? Okay? Because all that means is that at some point soon, you're going to have a major breakdown. And that's going to be the cost of your hormones. That's going to be possibly leading towards obesity and being really sick and unwell diabetically or with inability to control sugar and food. Or a mental crash where you have no capacity at all to even go to work. You might need to take significant periods of time off and then you're not there for the kids or for the people that you need to be there for. So I know that a lot of people listening to this podcast are listening to it on the go because you're busy and you're overwhelmed. But I would be the coach in this scenario and challenge you that do you need to be that busy? Do you need to be attached to that many things? And the answer might be, well, of course not, but I can't change it. And then I would say, hey, are you being coachable? Right? Which is that sometimes it's going to take a bit of an investment. It might take 6 months. It might even take 12 months for you to slowly wind back all of your commitments to where you actually have space. Because in that space, we need to be able to prioritize your health, your well-being, and your energy recovery so that you can self-nurture and you can get your energy back to baseline so that you can get up and go again tomorrow. Because we need energy every single day. In order for us to be consistent and to do the bare minimum, we need to have the bare minimum in the tank, right? And so if you don't know how to self-nurture, and when I say that, I need to clarify, when I say self-nurture or recover, I do not mean sit in front of the TV with Netflix, pizza, wine, because guess what? Tomorrow morning, you're not waking up feeling amazing. It's okay to do those things, and everybody listening has 100% permission from themselves and from me to embrace life however you like. But if you are interested in improving the status of your body and your health and your well-being and the energy in your body, then we need to find self-nurture and recovery systems that are fulfilling, that actually capture the energy and recovery that we need so that we can wake up feeling full tomorrow, not feeling like we treated ourselves at the cost of today, right? And that's often what happens is people say, I'm going to treat myself. I'm going to give myself this gift. I'm going to, you know, nurture myself with this type of thing. And in the moment, it feels really good. And then we realize all we've done is stolen from the future. We wake up tomorrow and we're the same or worse than we were before, because now our body's trying to detox. It's trying to catch up from the late night we had and the alcohol we had and the food that we had, right? So make sure that your systems of self-nurture and recovery are wholesome, fulfilling, and healthy. For me, that includes cold dips. That includes getting good night's sleep, which means getting to bed early. That means making sure that when I get to bed early, I'm not coming off the back of alcohol and sugar binges, right? Or big nights out. Okay. It means breath work. It means meditation. It means going to men's groups, which is a whole conversation for another day. Don't worry. It's not a group of gorillas beating their chest saying women and beer and drugs. Okay. It's not that at all. But these are things that really fill my cup, right? The other thing that really fills my cup is time with friends. Time on the couch, watching movies, hanging out, connecting in a non-work fashion really fills my cup. Okay. So you need to know what works for you. If changing your relationship with alcohol is something you've been thinking about doing and you don't know where to start, I want to introduce you to the work of my great friend, Sarah Rusbach, and a program she has coming up that will be of huge benefit to many of you listening now. Sarah is an accredited gray area drinking coach, which means she works with people who don't identify as being full-on dependent on alcohol, but know that alcohol is beginning to impact them negatively and don't know how to change their drinking habits. She's an absolute legend and has now supported thousands of women all over the world to successfully break the booze habit and create a more fulfilling, happier, and calmer life. I've met several ladies who have been through Sarah's alcohol-free challenges, and the benefits they've experienced have been incredible. Of course, there's the physical and practical benefits of taking a break from alcohol, like glowing skin, saving money, having more energy, better sleep, weight loss, less anxiety, increased motivation, and no more brain fog, but also the mental health benefits, feeling more joy and happiness, being calmer with the kids, increasing your self-belief and self-confidence, and waking up each morning feeling more positive and hopeful. If this is sounding good, the link for this is in the show notes below. See, I think the reason Sarah's alcohol-free challenges are always so incredibly successful is because she focuses on community, connection, education, and mindset, and what we add in when we take the alcohol out, rather than just relying on willpower to white-knuckle it through all the cravings. Now, I'm guessing what you'd like to know is, when can I sign up? So Sarah's next alcohol-free program will commence on the 14th of April and comes with my special discount that Sarah has kindly offered all How to Not Get Sick and Die podcast listeners. So for just $87, yeah, $87, that's less than $3 a day, you will get 30 days of daily support, education, information, and connection with others to completely change your mindset and habits around alcohol. I recommend that you and anyone you know that needs this take advantage of this incredible offer, as I know how life-changing this stuff can be. Simply use the code MATTY10, all in capitals, when you sign up to get this discount and join Sarah for this April challenge. The link is in the show notes below. So scroll down there and click the link, because I have a feeling she might just change your life. All right, the next one is number 6. Know that there is no pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. I'm sorry to ruin all of your dreams and your hopes, but a lot of people begin a journey, a health journey, and particularly in the diet world, expecting that they will arrive somewhere really soon, only to discover they're confronted by themselves. You know that meme? I think it's a Scooby-Doo meme, where one of the Scooby-Doo team members, you know, of the gang, says that I've discovered the person that's responsible for all of my problems. And the image is him taking a mask off somebody else, and the person that he's taking a mask off is him, right? So it's us all looking in the mirror, discovering, oh, at the end of the rainbow, I am confronted with myself. So this is where we actually need to fall in love with the journey. And I know those words sound wishy-washy and silly. And maybe falling in love is not the thing that we need to do, but we need to learn to enjoy the process. We need to learn to get up and enjoy working out, to enjoy cooking healthy meals, to enjoy developing relationships that surround healthy activity and personal growth, and friends that challenge us in a healthy and safe way, and romantic partners that are willing to ask us to be different in the right way, okay, in ways that help us and the ecosystem of our lives. We need to realize that that is a daily practice and that that happens slowly over time. And it's the enjoyment of the practice that is what creates a consistent, healthy human, is that they just get up each day and they enjoy the process of showing up for themselves. This isn't going to be every day. Some days you say, fuck it, I don't care. I don't give a shit about anything, Maddie. I don't care about your personal development podcast. Piss off. And you sometimes will look in the mirror and say that to yourself as well. I am absolutely a candidate for that every now and then. But most of the time, I really do enjoy showing up for myself. It feels validating. It feels like I've accomplished something. It feels like achievement. And if we talk about the body and the chemicals in the brain and the body, that is the dopamine, right? You can get dopamine from chocolate and social media, or you can get dopamine from working out and hugging a friend, right? One has consequences, one does not. They both produce dopamine. So we need to know that we're not rushing at any particular speed towards an outcome where we're like, oh my God, the pot of gold. I am a god. I have just come out of my caterpillar's cocoon and now I'm a butterfly. It doesn't work like that. You might eventually turn into a butterfly without even realizing it, but you'll only do that by enjoying the process for a very, very long period of time until one day you just realize you've been embodying the butterfly for a very long time by simply being consistent and showing up every day, right? There's no pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. You're at the end of the rainbow and you're at the start of the rainbow. So just decide who you're going to be on the way. Number 7, practice chosen resilience. What does that mean? So what I mean by this is, and I want to use a Jordan Peterson quote that I heard a long time ago and I want to share because I think it really encapsulates what I mean by practice chosen resilience. Life is tough anyway, right? Life is shit. It throws stuff at you, the mortgages and kids and problems and broken arms and dead parents. And it's the whole works, right? Life is challenging and difficult. It's an extremely overwhelming. Even in the Western world, we are challenged and overwhelmed by all of the abundance and the money and all of the things that we have. And you might be like, Maddie, maybe you've got abundant money. Well, maybe not. You've probably got more than I do. But in the context of the world, we're doing extremely well. If you look at the Philippines, or if you look at, you know, anywhere in Indonesia, or if you look at Africa, and there's a lot of places that are doing far, far, far worse economically than us. However, my point is that our day-to-day life is lacking enough resilience that the Western world and countries like Australia and the US and the UK have the highest rates of depression, suicide, and anxiety. So one way that we can develop ourselves in a direction that is able to navigate some of those mental health challenges that seem to show up in the Western world more than anywhere else is to practice chosen resilience. And the Jordan Peterson quote that I was referring to before is, choose your suffering or the world will choose it for you. And so what I mean by this is that if you choose your own suffering, right, you practice your own chosen resilience, you will be more resilient when real suffering comes along, okay? And what I mean by that is picking stuff that is hard to do, but safe to do, right? And it means you're in control of it. So what are we talking about? We're talking about going to the gym. We're talking about running. We're talking about doing cold ice baths or cold showers and getting in the ocean most Sundays throughout the year, as I've been doing across the last few years. And doing these types of things that build your biological and emotional resilience. They take courage to do. They take effort to push through a barrier. And the good thing is most of these things are surrounded by groups of people doing the same thing. So you're not alone. You've got the support of people that are also developing their resilience. Because it means when the really shit stuff does come along, your capacity to manage that resilience is far greater. So you must practice resilience in your own way. Choose it. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be uncomfortable. Maybe you'll have a cold shower today and that'll be the first thing that you do to practice your own resilience. But start picking stuff. If it's the gym, pick up weights that are heavy. Don't throw around one dumbbell weights that don't really do anything, right? Pick up something that's heavy. Not so heavy that you do an injury. Be smart. And maybe you want to do some cold therapy. Maybe you don't jump straight into an ice bath, but maybe you just turn the shower cold for 30 seconds and see what happens, right? Or maybe you try breath work and really push yourself with your breath work. Whatever it might be, okay? Practice chosen resilience. Do the hard thing. Eat the frog, as they say, okay? But if you don't pick it yourself, that means that your susceptibility to being thrown off course or derailed when life throws shit at you, which inevitably it will, then it's going to be far more difficult to actually deal with that. So when it comes to personal development, one of the key factors of your strength to navigate diets, to navigate challenging situations, to navigate difficult conversations is going to be your capacity to go through discomfort, to be uncomfortable, okay? And so you need to practice that in your day-to-day life so that every day you are capable of handling whatever the universe decides to put on you. Okay, number 8 is community. Community is maybe the most important variable on here. Maybe I've said that a few times by now. But speaking from health, we know, anyone that's studied a health degree, we know that social determinants of health is more impactful than your genetic code. As the saying goes, your postcode is more impactful than your genetic code. And the question is, oh my God, how could that be? Our genes are in our body. Our postcode is just a made-up idea of where we live, right? And so the reason for that is that we are pack animals and our priority is to belong. That's our number one priority as a pack animal. And the way that we belong is that we adopt the behaviors of the pack or the tribe or the family or the community that we are in. And the reason we do that is because if we do different behaviors, then we are at risk of being kicked out of the pack, right? For not being cool enough or for not eating the same way or for not behaving in the same way. The tribe or the pack sees your difference as a threat. And you'll often see people display signs of being threatened when you go on a diet or you make a change or you do something for yourself and they say, what are you doing that for? And they, you know, throw this judgment at you. That's them representing the pack and saying, we feel threatened by the fact that you're being different. And that's suspicious to us because it challenges our idea of what it means to be in this pack, okay? And so the reason community is so important in personal development is that the people around you, the people in your house, your close friends and your colleagues are by far the number one reason that you will give up on personal development. Health, wellness, psychology, relationship healing, whatever it is. They are the number one impact that they will have on you. And like I just said before, they're the number one impact on your health outcomes in life, your likelihood of disease, okay? Your likelihood of dying early and all of the behaviors that factor into creating a life or a body that dies young, right? It's all determined by the people that you spend time with. You know, the famous Jim Rohn and Tony Robbins line that gets shared all over the place. And I've shared it a bunch on here too, which is that you are the average of your closest 5 people or your 5 best friends. And if those people aren't doing too well, then guess what? It's highly likely that neither are you, okay? So your community is really important. And of course, you might not be able to escape that community or that family right now. Again, some of this stuff takes a long-term strategy to be able to actually move out of, okay? If you're in a marriage that needs to end, that's going to take a bit of time, right? You're in a job that needs to end and you've got a mortgage and you're a single mum, it's going to take a bit of time to solve that problem. But we need to have a plan or start putting a plan in place to move towards a community or a suburb or a location or a program or a group of people that actually have values that we want to embody and that we want to prioritize. And this is exactly why I prioritize community-based programs when I run my programs, right? And we've got a group called the Consistency Club and the Mind Body Nourishment and previously the Ultimate Energy Upgrade and all of this is group programs because everybody coming in is coming from their own postcode, right? Their own community, their own pack. And what we want to do as part of the new pack is embody health values where people are able to be vulnerable and caring and understand that people are going through shit and that we want to change and that we're all here to level up and try different things and go out of our comfort zone. And that's what underpins the communities that I run. Because the only way for us to get better is for those to be important values in the community. Otherwise, people feel like strangers in the community and the same thing happens, right? Is that they would prefer to run away. They would go back to the community that they feel safest within. So you also have to prioritize community. It is the most important determining factor. Again, if you can't change it, add to it, okay? If you can't change the family, you can't change your friends, you can't change where you live, then add to it by joining a gym, by joining a group of people, by going on Meetup, by joining my program. Links in the show notes, right? Whatever it might be, come into my world. Come and hang out. Find that community. Okay, number 9, the final one. The pain is the work. And you might be like, what? What are you talking about, Maddie? The pain is the work. Again, there's nothing at the end of the rainbow. There's no pot of gold. There's no leprechauns waiting to greet you. There's no, you know, door to heaven, you know. The pain is the work. After, when the pain is over, that's a nice place to hang out and that feels great. But actual personal development is the discomfort, is the anger, is the self-loathing, is the hatred, is the discomfort, is the pain, is the suffering. I've probably said it all three times at this point. But the point is, the feeling, the physical feeling in your body of discomfort and uncomfortable emotions, that is the body and the mind processing what's going on. If we run away from discomfort and we pretend it's all not happening and we're just sort of in this positivity world of, yeah, personal development, I feel great, I'm a leveled up human, then, well, you sound like a bit of an arrogant dick, but you're ignoring the actual problem, okay? And so the pain is the work. And know that all of the stuff that you want to do is on the other side of a couple of difficult 10-minute conversations and a bunch of physical discomfort. And I know that's not really motivating, right? Which is exactly why we have to reference what we were talking about earlier by saying that we have to love the process. We have to love the process of getting up every day, because that's the only way we can turn pain and suffering into enjoyment, into work that we're actually attracted towards doing, because it no longer feels like pain and suffering once it's just part of how you show up every day. So remember, it's going to suck at times. It's going to feel really shit. And sometimes the shittest times are where the most transformation happens, right? So the pain is the work. Now, that's the 9 things I've covered so far, but I wanted to throw in these 3 really important warnings, because if you get personal development wrong, and I guarantee you there are people walking around everywhere, and I've actually stopped partaking in certain personal development communities in my world because these 3 things are prominent in ways that I personally identify as dangerous. And I don't mean physically dangerous, like, you know, my body doesn't feel like it's going to be invaded by anybody anytime soon, so that's nice. But what I mean is that these 3 things can happen if you follow the wrong people and you take the wrong kind of guidance in regards to personal development. So these are warnings. You've got to look out for these so you don't latch onto the wrong mentor. And you have to be, you know, self-coaching and self-monitoring so that you make sure that these things don't happen to you, okay? Number one, and I touched on it in a iteration of what I was saying before, which is, number one is avoidance of the actual problem. Sometimes people can get into personal development and be so focused on being personally developed that they're actually just using this as another mechanism to distract themselves from the problem, right? Say you're an emotional eater and you sign up to my program. If you're going too intense into that program, maybe you're using the learning in the program as another way to distract yourself from the inner problem that's actually going on. That's the exact reason I drip feed my program out, actually, so that you can't actually get stuck too long in information consumption. The information kind of runs out and then it's like, oh, I guess I better go and do the work, right? But make sure that when you jump into personal development, that you're not so overloaded with all of the courses and all of the things that you're still avoiding the core problem. And if you are avoiding the core problem, there's likely a reason. You're probably protecting yourself from something, or you're struggling to confront a trauma, or you feel like you don't have the tools to be able to actually step up and do what you need to do. So be very careful that you're not using personal development as the thing to continue the same issue you had before, which is avoidance of your inner world or avoiding the actual problem. Thing number two that's a warning or a major concern, and this is big. I've quite literally dated people like this. I've met a lot of people like this, and there are communities everywhere full of people like this. Be careful of the narcissistic slippery slope, right? Personal development is personal. It's about you. It's you working on you, which is not selfish, but we've got to be careful because there is an element that can come out or be drawn out of people in the personal development world that becomes a display of narcissistic tendencies. Now, I think the word narcissist and the classification of people being called narcissists is a buzzword on social media and is widely used inaccurately. But we all, as humans, have narcissistic tendencies. They're protection mechanisms, okay? And so you have to be careful that along this journey, you don't draw too many of those tendencies out of yourself, because there's a narcissistic slippery slope that can happen. And it ends up, especially in the spiritual personal development world, I call it spiritual arrogance. It shows up in a way where people parade themselves around as being more woke or more intelligent or at a higher level to you, right? This spiritual arrogance is not what you want. And there's also spiritual gaslighting, which happens by a lot of these personally developed people. They know lots of the mature sentences to say, but really what these people are doing is they're using a really intelligent, beautiful, evolved, amazing facade to cover up issues that they haven't dealt with, right? And in many cases, it can be, I have commitment issues, or it can be, I don't know how to deal with confrontation, right? So you need to be really careful yourself and be able to identify out in the world, are these people just kind of spiritual wankers, right? Are they being arrogant or gaslighting me, right? Because there's a fine line between even coaching and gaslighting, right? Because pushing people lovingly out of their comfort zone and victim blaming them are really different things, right? So be careful for you and for other people. Number three is the positivity bias. This is huge in the personal development world, the positivity bias. Guess what? Things aren't always great. And just being happy all the time, and there's a book written by a famous psychologist called Positive Psychology. And that idea is lovely and sounds amazing. It sounds like the gold at the end of the rainbow. But often if you get stuck in that place of positivity bias, everything's positive, or just be positive. And plenty of men have given that advice to their upset girlfriends and wives only to get, you know, a barrage of shit thrown back at them. Because guess what? It's not always good. And just being positive doesn't solve internal conflicts or external conflicts. It's good to be positive a lot of the time and when it's really useful, but don't get stuck in a positivity world in denial of reality, in denial of the work that needs to be done, in denial of what needs to be confronted, picked up, and dealt with, right? It can be very easy to get stuck in the world of positivity. And I think as well in the personal development world, there are lots of fantastic tools that err on the side of positivity, but make sure the tools that you're using are either appropriate for the application, in that sometimes you really do need to be positive, like maybe somebody got a cancer diagnosis, right? That requires some positive energy. It also requires some realism of like, this might be terrifying for that person, right? Whatever the situation is, we want positivity appropriately placed and we want reality confronted, okay? Don't get me wrong. Sometimes having delusional positivity will pay off. However, it won't get you very far if it's not applied appropriately. So be very careful, okay? Be very careful. These are the three things. I just want to go over them again. There are three warnings. Make sure you're not avoiding the actual problem. Be careful of the narcissistic slippery slope in you and in others. And don't get stuck in the positivity bias. So these are my 9 + 3 things that I wanted to share with you about personal development that I've learned mostly. Like most of these come from my own experience and also helping hundreds of people at this point to personally develop their own lives. And, you know, it's a journey. It takes time. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be comfortable. You might want to take a holiday from it, a break from it. You know, don't go in all in at once. Take space when you need it. Follow all of the guidelines here that I've shared with you about what to do, how to do it, what to prioritize, what matters, what doesn't matter. And of course, there's heaps more. You know, this is one podcast and one conversation. But I wanted to share this with you because I think it's important to understand the foundation of how we change. Because if we don't understand how to change, then we're just kind of walking around hoping we bump into the answer. And the reality is, we're not going to bump into it, right? But if you know anyone that's begun a personal development journey or is starting to get into personal development and that you think that this podcast would be really useful for them to listen to, or just anybody, anyone you think that would benefit from this episode, I would be very grateful if you could share it with them, share it on social media, give me a tag, so that we can help some more people be able to change their relationship with food, their body, their partner, their own trauma and psychology, their relationship with alcohol, whatever it might be, okay? So please, if you can or you feel called to do so, share it with everyone that you can. And in the meantime, I appreciate you being here and I look forward to seeing you or hearing you on the next episode. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you enjoyed this episode or learnt anything at all, the gift of your 5-star rating would be incredibly helpful. And what's even more powerful is if you write a review. You can do it below each episode on Spotify, every time an episode comes out, and inside Apple Podcast, simply find the main page of this show with all the episodes on it, scroll to the bottom, hit write a review, share your amazing feedback, and then hit send. It helps this show grow tremendously and allows me to successfully invite bigger and more famous guests each time we do the show. Thank you, thank you, thank you for helping us climb the charts, climb the algorithm, and help more people. Oh, and by the way, I have a short disclaimer as well. I just wanted to quickly remind you that the information provided on this podcast is for general informational purposes only. While we strive to bring you accurate and up-to-date content, it's important to note that a lot of this is mixed with opinions, stories, and ideas not supported by mainstream science or medicine. Any advice or suggestions should not be considered a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always consult a healthcare provider before making any decisions about the health and wellness of you and your family. Remember too that what works for one person may not work for another. And just as we promote on the show, each person is responsible for their own health decisions. Thank you for tuning into the How to Not Get Sick and Die podcast. And now, the next episode. Here it is.